everything. You know, what kind of impact does your relationship to Christ have in your life? And in chapter 2, John starts going through, and you really get down to the core of the book. And he goes down in chapter 2 a little bit, and in here he starts talking about, look, you say this, right? You say, I love the Lord. You say, I obey. You say all these things, but is your life backing it up? You know, people can say a lot of things, right? But you've already heard, you know, actions speak louder than... That was really weak. Actions speak louder than...
Words.
Right? Show me. Show me. You say you're a Christian? Show me. And really, sort of the heart of all this comes down in this idea of our love for the Lord. I mean, this morning, we took communion. We held an element that represented His body. That Jesus, you died upon the cross. Nails were put into your hand. A crown of thorns upon your head. Lord, you did this for me. We held the element of the juice. And Lord, this represents your blood that was shed for me. That should have an impact in my life. Lord, how much do I love you? And so before I got into chapter 2 just a little bit, I'm going to back up just a little bit. And I want to go through and talk about this idea of love. And the love we have for God. And how that sets up everything else. Alright? So this is sort of going to be an introduction, if you will, in the chapter 2 of 1 John. So grab your Bibles, please. The book of John himself, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, there is a fascinating passage between Peter and the Lord. And there's some really interesting things in here that we may overlook or miss a little bit. Obviously, the original John was written in Greek. Does anyone here read Greek? I took a couple years of Greek, and it's still all Greek to me. There's a joke. I have a difficult... Does anyone here speak a second language? No? Oh, sign language. That's another language. All right. I have a hard enough time with English, let alone with another language, right? I would tell people I speak American. Even that really poorly. But in here, the original was written in Greek. And to translate that over into English, sometimes you lose some stuff. In John, there's an interesting wordplay that's going on here. All about this word, love. In English, love is a very clunky word. Right? It's easy to use that term for a lot of things. Right? I can say, I love my wife. Right? I can say, I love my daughter. But that relationship is different, right? I use that same word, love, but it's different. At the house, we have this little Shih Tzu. I can say, I love my dog. Right? And once again, the love I have for my wife, the love I have for my daughter, is different than the love that I have for my dog. I love buffalo wings. The hotter, the better. I don't... No, come on. Anyone else really like buffalo... I mean... No! I'll take all yours. I like the hotter, the better. You know, I think God designed the whole chicken just for the wing. You know, I know there's a ranch somewhere with all these wingless chickens running around. But, you know, a little bit of blue cheese and, oh, I'm happy, right? But I love buffalo wings. But once again, the love I have for my wife, the love I have for my daughter, the love I have for my dog, the love I have for wings, we use the same term,
but it has very different connotations and outcomes. Does that make sense? Because it's important as we go down through, and in the Greek, we have New Testament really has three types of loves that's used. Alright? And some of this you may have heard before, some of this may be new to you. But it's interesting to listen how the Greeks look at this one term, and we lump it as one. And they say, well, you know what? There's differences in here. And anyway, they carried it over in the New Testament. So I'm saying all this again so when we get into the text, it'll make some sense to you. Alright, the first love that we talk about here, I'll talk about the little harp, is eros. Alright, we use that in an English word, erotic. It's a passion, it's a physical attraction to. Right? It's when you look at your spouse, you get that little pitter patter. Right? That little twinkle in your eye. Hey, baby, how you doing? Right? That in here is that, you know, it's all sort of love at first sight. It's probably this. You know, they're good looking. They're, you know? And that's the type of love that's just physical. Right? Driven by the hormones. And thoughts and all these things come down through. The second one is philia. We get down through here. This is where we get our English words like Philadelphia. The city of brotherly what? Love. It comes from this. The term love here has to do with that affection to it. Right? The connotation to this is an affection that you have. Right? This is a sort of an emotional response that we have. Right, this morning we can turn around and say, look, you know, we love God. We sang this morning, God has the praises of His people, right? I have an affection. I have a strong affection for God. I love Him. Right? I talk about my daughter, I talk about my wife, right? I have a strong affection for them. This is how I feel. Right? That's that sort of that tingly, warm thought that you have about someone, right? You have that drive for them. That's emotional based. You with me so far? Do you see the difference between these two types of love? The last one we're going to look at here is this idea of an agape love. And this God, this is a God type of love. This is a love of commitment. Right? This is a love that one chooses to have. And in here, it's always geared up with action. Right? You know, we talk about the idea of that brotherly type of love, that emotional type of love, right? You sort of can bask in that. You know, talk to, you know, sit down and, you know, see a newlywed couple. And you're all starry-eyed. Right? And it's like, especially a young couple, you know, they first get married. Yeah, I like doing premarital counseling with couples and sit down. Why do you want to get married? Oh, because we love each other. Right? I said, well, and what else? Well, no, that's it. We just, you know, we love each other. Well, okay, that'll get you so far. But there'll be a day when you won't feel that. Right? In the morning when you go roll over and you got, you know, morning breath breathing on you and cold feet on you, and you're like, you know, I don't feel that pitter patter right now. Right? There's that, right? That's, I don't feel that emotion. Does that mean I don't love? No, I love. I can choose to love. And the love I have can turn into action. The Bible says I should love my enemies. The term that's used here is agape love. God's not asking you to feel warm and fuzzy for your enemies. Alright? What He's saying is you choose to love them. You choose to act in a certain way towards them. Right? So you see how these three lay out differently. Right? One's a physical love, one's sort of the emotional love, and the other is a commitment, God, I say God type of love. God looks at me and He loves me, I don't know why. But He chooses to. Right? And that's the type of love in a relationship that you want that's going to last. Right? There's a commitment, a faithfulness you're going to carry down through. So you got those three types of loves? You got that set down through? Alright? Because in John chapter 21, these terms start coming into play. And it's in English, it all kind of runs in because we use the love for everything. But I want to break it up because in here is a fascinating relationship that we have. All right? In John chapter 21, I'm going to start in verse 15. All right. It says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' And he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' And he said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" So here, real quick in this conversation, we have love being thrown around a lot. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Jesus says, "Well, do you love me?" He goes, "Yes, I love you." "Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." Right? So why all this repetition? Because I'm going to show you something that's I find this really cool as we get into the scriptures with these three type of loves. Alright? Remember the first type of love we talked about is that eros? Right? This is that physical attraction. Right? Is this the term that's being used? You know, Jesus asking Peter, "Hey, are you physically attracted to me?" I tell you what, that's not what's going on here at all. Right? Phileo? Is that brotherly love, that pure emotional, spiritual fondness, if you will, for someone? Actually, this word does come into play in here. Alright? So keep that filed away, right? So we use this word, we're talking about that fondness for. That's probably a good way to translate it. And of course, the last one is agape. That unconditional love, commitment type of love. A love that leads to action. Right? You love me? Show it. Don't just say it. Put it in the action. Alright. We got covered. The three types of love. Right? We're going to be talking about two. Right? We're going to talk about the filio, and then we're going to be talking about the agape love. You got that squared away? Now let's look at this text. Just a little bit of background. This is at the end of the gospel that leaned to this right before the cross. Peter says, "Lord, I will love you no matter what. Even though everyone else forsakes you, I never will." Well, maybe you're familiar with that night Jesus was taken. And Peter followed along. And Peter denied the Lord several times. At one point says, "I don't even know the man." Right? Jesus dies on the cross, raises up from the grave, sees the disciples several times, and poor Peter knows what he's done. He knew he denied the Lord. He told Jesus that he never would, but he did anyways. So how do you think that made him feel? Probably pretty cruddy, huh? And so in here, Peter almost seems to kind of avoid Jesus a little bit. Peter goes out. He was a fisherman by trade. And John chapter 21 finds Peter back out fishing. Peter had gone back to what he was familiar with. And Jesus shows up. And in here, they come in and Jesus has breakfast for them. And in this dialogue comes in. Now Peter and Jesus are going to have this sort of a moment of reconciliation. Of restoring. It's a beautiful picture. Now Peter knows he's messed up. And Jesus is saying, "You know what, Peter? I love you anyways." But in here, Jesus' question is really striking because he turns around and says, "Look, do you love me?" Now what I did here in this text is every time it uses the word agape, I put it in red. Alright? So So when you read your Bible, I don't know if you have footnotes or not. Maybe your Bible will point this out to you. But up here on the screen, I wanted to point this out. It says, all right, so he goes, so when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Right? He says, Peter, do you love me with a God-like love? Do you love me with a commitment type of love? Peter, do you choose to love me? No matter what your heart says, do you choose to love me? That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? Do you love me? And the question comes down for us, Lord, do I love you? And of course, we all know the right answer is, yeah, Jesus, I love you. Yeah, God, I love you. And the question comes in and says, well, what kind of love do we have for God? What kind of love do we have? And so when the dialogue goes down through, he says, so when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to him, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? How committed are you to me, Peter? Do you love me above all else? Why don't you take a look here at what Peter turns around and says back to him. He says, and he said to him, well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Do you notice it's a different color? You see that? Anyone colorblind this morning? I apologize. But in here he says, Lord, do you know that I love you? He uses the word philio. So Peter turns around and says, Jesus, you know I have affection for you. Was that what Jesus asked him? That's not what... And so Peter kind of dodges the question. Jesus asks him, says, look, are you sold out for me? Are you committed to me? Do you love me more than everything else? Do you choose to love me? And Peter says, well, Lord, you know. I have a strong, kind fondness for you. Right? The text goes on. And he said to him again, this is Jesus talking again. So he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He says, agape again. Right? He goes, Peter, do you commit to me? Do you promise to show love in action to me? No matter how you feel, do you love me? What does Peter say this time? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He goes, but Lord, you know I have affection for you. You know my heart goes to you. You know I have that type of emotional type of love. That's not what Jesus asked him. Let me ask you, do we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and all our mind? Does God take that first place in our life above all else? Or do we have all these other things in our life that buy for that affection? You know, Lord, I'll serve you when I feel like it. You know, Sunday is a great chance to get together. I'm glad you're here this morning. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. I love to hear you guys sing. I love getting into the Word. I love being together, that fellowship we have. And doesn't it? Hopefully, you go home saying, look, it's been good. I'm glad I went. Maybe this morning was a struggle for you. Maybe you're like, should I really go? I don't have that choice. I got to be here. Right? But you had a choice. You can say, ah. You know? Maybe you got the power. You roll over and you hit the alarm clock and you're like, oh, 5 more minutes. Right? And the power of the pillow. You know, your pillow's like, don't get up. Don't get up. It's fine, nice, warm, and soft. And you can stay right here. You're like, oh, yes, pillow. I love you. Right? I'm the only one who has that conversation. All right. Right? Or maybe it's so many other things to do and you're so busy. What I find is, you know, we tend to make time for where our heart is at. Are we ones to say, you know what, Lord, I am sold out for you. I am going to be faithful to you. I will be that fully committed to you. That's the kind of love I have for John. So this is twice Jesus turns around and says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter turns around and says, well, Lord, you know I like you. Right? That's a different level here. Here's an interesting thing. Over the years, a lot of people have been curious on, because it says Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? Right? And I've heard pastors turn around and say, well, Peter was irritated because Jesus asked him three times. That's not what the issue is. Right? It wasn't that, you know, my kid will ask. Ever a kid that really wants something? You know, dad. Right? Dad, will you do this? Dad, will you do this? Will you do this? Yes. Dad. I'm like, yes, all right. Right? But that's not what's going on here. Peter is upset because Jesus turns the question back around onto him. So twice, Jesus turns around and says, Peter, are you committed to me? And twice, Peter says, yeah, Lord, you know I like you. Take a look here. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, what color is that? What color?
Green.
That's green. Do you feel it over me? Jesus changes that. What he turns around and what he's doing here is Jesus says, you know what, Peter, do you even really like me? Right? Twice he's like, are you committed to me? Are you sold out for me? Are you be faithful no matter what? Do you have that type of love? Twice he says that. And Peter's like, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. And then finally, this third time, he turns around and says, Peter, are you even really fond of me? Do you even have that type of love for me? And this struck Peter to the heart. Because it's so easy for us to say, Lord, yes, I love you. And does it have such an impact on our lives? Do I love him more than anything else? Am I so sold out for him no matter what? Are we stuck with sort of that, Lord, you know, I mean, it's emotional love. Lord, I really like you. And what Jesus asks here is, do we even do that? And I'll tell you, that is a question that pierces the heart. Because if I love the Lord, shouldn't that affect what I do and what I say? It should. So when push comes to shove, Lord, do I really even kind of like you? And Peter turns around and responds. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know I have this affection for you, Lord. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And at the end of this, he turns around and Jesus tells him a little bit about his future. And in here, the challenge comes in. Lord, do I really love you? Lord, do I really want to serve you? Really, not just words. You know, and this is in the Gospel of John. When we turn to the book of 1 John, I can't help to think that the same author has this in mind when he turns around and says, look, do you love the Lord? Then you'll obey him. If you love the Lord, it's going to have an impact in all these different lives. Right? It's more than just words. It's in deeds. You know, the struggle has been, you know, in our relations that we have in our lives, people want to hear more than just, I love you. They want it backed up by action. You know, how do I show my spouse that I love him or her? Right? If you just turn around and say, yeah, I love you, and that's it. Yeah, I love you. Right? How much does that mean? But when I say I love you, and it follows through and it shows with our kids. Right? Just turn around and tell our kids, yeah, I love you. But it doesn't have an impact on us. We don't show it in any way. Guess what? Then it's an empty type of love. And is it any less when we turn around and tell God, God, I love you. But there's no impact. There's no touching in our life. Any change in our lives. Then do we really do it? Lord, do I love you with a commitment? Do I agape you? And sometimes I have to ask, Lord, do I even really like you? Look at my actions, Dwight. How's that pan out? And I'm so thankful that He loves me. This morning in Sunday school, we've been going through talking about that a little bit. And what can separate us from the love of Christ? The answer is nothing. I'm thankful that He has an agape love towards me. That even though I stumble and fall, and even though I fall short, He is faithful and He will love me no matter what. What a wonderful promise it is. And Lord, I'm thankful that you can love a jerk like me. But Lord, help me to love you more. Right? Lord, help me fall more in love with you. In a real way. A way that impacts me. You know, I always kind of joked around. You know, you ever seen a I'll pick on a lady. But you ever see a newly engaged young lady? Right? You know, she's got the little diamond ring on her hand. And I don't know if you knew this, but scientifically, the diamond is the lightest thing in the world. You know? Did you know that? You know how I know? Because you put a diamond on a girl's hand and her hand just floats. Right? And it's interesting because the bigger the rock is, the higher it floats. Right? And they say they're made out of carbon, but I think it's pressed helium. Because, right? You see this girl and she's like... Right? Why? Because she's in love. Right? The guy can do no harm, do no wrong. He's wonderful and great. Right? Then you talk to the same couple 10, 20 years down the line. It's like, yeah. Because what's happened? The love has grown cold. Lord, help me not to have my love grow cold. Lord, help me to fall in love with you again. So this is a question you really need to kind of ask yourself. Lord, do I love you? And you know what the answer is. Yeah, Lord, yeah. You know I love you. But really ask yourself, Lord, do I love you? Does it show? How do I prove that? How do I reveal that? How does it impact me? Right? Or is it just lost in the whole hustle and bustle of everything else in life? Like I said, we begin into 1 John next week and look at chapter 2. I had to take a break because it was one of those passages studying through is just a conviction. Aye, aye, aye. Because like, oh Lord. You know, I can't love you like you love me. But Lord, help me love you more. Change me by your love. Energize me by your love. forsaking all others. I want to love you, Lord. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to show us our hearts. Lord, I pray that in our lives I'll reflect a deep love we have for you. And Lord, maybe in our life we've been crowded in by so many different things, Lord, that our love has grown cold. And Lord, maybe we're not even showing love at all. Lord, help me fall in love with you again. Lord, I pray in my life you will have every nook and every cranny, Lord. I give it all to you because I love you. Lord, it's a challenge. But Lord, I pray through faith, Lord. And through the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, stir within us a love that you deserve. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.